this episode, I talked to Oscar Okermo, who's been one of my favorite artists since I started tattooing. He works at Bang Bang in New York City and is known across the globe for his amazing combination of black and gray realism and geometric elements, creating perfect composition in his pieces. Oscar's unique designs have made a massive impact on the fine line community. He has pioneered new styles of tattooing, and a lot of us have followed close behind. It was so great talking to Oscar and hearing his perspective on what it means to not just be a tattooer, but an artist. My name is Jake Berry, and this is The Fine Line. First of all, Oscar, thank you so much. I'm honored to have you on the podcast. I've been a long time admirer of your work, so thanks for doing this with me.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
Cool. So let's just start at the beginning. Where did you start tattooing? How did you get into it?
Oh man, it's a long story. I started tattooing pretty early. I think the earliest memory I have of being interested in tattooing was probably when I was like 9, and I wanted to give my big sister, who was turning 18, a tattoo for her birthday. And I didn't realize how, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna just decide a tattoo for my big sister, how like crazy that was. But I was really adamant about like, ah, she's gonna get a tattoo, I want her to get a tattoo. So that was when I was 9. But then I think the
9 years old,
yeah, 9 years old. So I was, you know, already very into it. I'd always been, before that, like, dude, when I was 6, I was like nagging on my parents, like, please let me get an ear piercing. I want to get an ear piercing. And so I was always like into body modification, and like I was sewing my own clothing. And so all of this sort of stems from the same roots in me, I guess. And so I think when I was 10, I realized that you can hand poke tattoos if you have a needle and ink. So I used my little brother as a guinea pig, who was 8 at the time, he was 2 years younger than I am, to hand poke a tattoo, and I did. I was 10 years old, and that tattoo faded. I didn't, you know, poke him deep enough, but I did a little star on his leg, and then I tattooed myself as well. I did a cross, and those they faded away. But that's like the earliest memories of tattooing or being interested in tattooing that I have. And then it wasn't until I was 14 at this time that I was like, oh shit, I want to have a tattoo. I want to have a real tattoo. Because I listened to like all these rock bands, and you know, you saw Axl Rose and all these people, they had tattoos. So of course, you know, I needed a tattoo. So and YouTube had started coming around back then, you know. So I found out that you can build a tattoo machine.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. You know, with a 9-volt battery and like a little rotary motor from a PlayStation or whatever. And so I built myself a tattoo machine, and I used pen ink, and I mean, we're on video, you and I, but this will be a podcast, I imagine, only audio, but I can show you the tattoo that
yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
So I did a bigger star on my leg.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know, that's how I started, really. Friends saw this. So, you know, between the years of 14 and 16, I started tattooing my friends. You know, I grew up in a small town on the west coast of Sweden. It's sort of a pretty... I mean, no offense to anybody listening that might be from there. It's a very much of a hillbilly town. So all the other kids, they were like, oh, who did your tattoo? I was like, I did it. And I was like, oh, you get a tattoo? Me too. You know, and I was like, yeah, of course. Let's go. You know, that's when I became the tattooer, I guess. And yeah, so I built myself like three, four machines.
Crazy. Do you still have those machines?
I don't. No, I don't. I wish I do. You know, I wish I did have them. I mean, I think my mom would keep them pretty proud today. So they would probably just... No,
yeah, but, are they?
Yeah, today they are. They were always very open to... You know, as I said, I was obsessed with piercings when I was like 6.
And, yeah.
And like, so I was always the crazy kid. So, you know, by the time I started expressing my, like, you know, interest in tattooing, they were like, oh, here we go. Now it's tattooing. Wow. Okay, what's next?
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, but they were always very, very, you know, supportive in what I, and, you know, I had a rock band and my dad helped me, yeah, like, arrange a tour. You know, it's like,
cool.
They were always like very supportive, even if they didn't always understand whatever I was doing. They were like, you know, they tried to show their support and so on.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So did you get in? Were you interested in tattooing because of the culture and the look and all that stuff rather than the art? Were you an artist at the time?
Yeah. So the thing is that my dad was an artist before I was born, because when I was born, he got rheumatoid arthritis. And that's a bone disease that's pretty severe, and especially severe in younger patients. Like if you're young, normally it's an old people disease, more or less, right? Mm. So before that, he was an artist, and he did all sorts of painting and drawing. He was a courtroom sketch artist for a while. So, and then both my grandparents from my dad and my mom said they were both artists. My grandfathers from both mom and dad. So I grew up around their art and seeing their art and so on. But I was never like, oh, I'm going to be a painter or I'm going to be a tattooer. It was more, I was always drawing, but it was always for something else. Like if I was sewing, I was drawing the blueprints if I was drawing war, I was, you know, drawing war or, you know, whatever. And then when tattooing started to come around, I was like, oh, I can draw my own tattoo. Why not? You know,
yeah.
So I was always utilizing my back then non-existing drawing skills for something else, right?
Yeah,
so it was always there, but it took some time until it took the form of tattooing, an interest in tattooing. Yeah.
Right. At what point did you ever reach a point where you go to someone and try to learn from someone else?
Yeah. So I think back when I was 16, like the year, 2 years after I built my first machines, I got really interested in, that's where I started. So I made my mom, or, you know, I begged them for a while to buy me one of these Chinese tattooer kits, you know, starting kits, like two machines and needles and all that. Everything you need to start kind of thing, you know. You know,
yeah.
You know, everybody that listens to this probably knows about it. And my mom finally, behind my dad's back, agreed to get me one of these under one condition, that I didn't tattoo myself, only other people. Which is just crazy enough, but. And so she got it to me. So I got this like Chinese, and that's where we had a little guest house next to our house. That we just fucking used for, excuse my language, for storage and whatnot. And it had a mattress and they're like, you know, people could sleep. Like, and so I turned that little guest house into my tattoo studio. So that's when it got really serious, I guess. That was at 16. And then so I was studying music, by the way. Speaking of music, we did before. In high school, I went to like this high school of music. And I hated it. I hated it so much. I loved music, but school really made me hate music, sadly. And so at 17, my second year of high school, I dropped out because I found a mentor.
Wow.
His name is Pedro Leon. And yeah, I had looked for... I started applying for apprenticeships when I got my first real machines there at 16, because that's when, that was like, I guess, the pivotal point of like, okay, I want a tattoo, you know? So I started applying to all the local, you know, in Gothenburg, I would apply to, and all around the county, you know. I grew up 1 hour outside of Gothenburg in a town called Uddevalla. So everybody said no, and, you know, I applied to maybe 12, 13 places. And
wow, crazy.
Yeah. And then one day I log in, I was 17, it's back in 2012. I log in onto Facebook and I see that Tattoo Studio 73 opened up in my town. Like, it was this Facebook page. And I was like, what? That's the studio that I don't know of. And it was just their grand opening day, or his, like, you know, my mentor. So I like jump on the phone and I call him up like, hey, do you need a tattooer? He's like, no. And I was like, but do you need an apprentice? He's like, no. I was like, but can I come in and show my work at least? He's like, okay, you know. And then so I went into the town and I brought my little, you know, book with me, with my drawings and the sucky pictures of my sucky tattoos to him. And I'm met by this Chilean guy, like the super Latino dude, tattooed everywhere, very quiet, very like, he looked super grumpy. And I ask him like, oh, what do you think? And he looks at my work and he says like, oh, okay, in very few words, draw me three swallows and come back on Monday. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do that. And I went home and I drew five swallows, you know, like traditional. I was so pumped, you know. It was past this pivotal moment of like, oh, I really want a tattoo and I really want to get out of school.
Yeah.
And so I did, and I came back that Monday, and he looked at them, you know, quiet, just like, yeah, you can come here at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Wow.
This is like the classic, you know, like, yeah, you can be my apprentice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. His name is Pedro Leon, man. Next year, it will be 10 years ago that I met him, 2012. Wow. And he turned out to be one of my best friends and a real father figure to me.
Oh, actually. How amazing. Wow. Yeah,
we had a great ride.
That's amazing. Yeah. Did you feel like you reached a point at being self-taught where you just like couldn't go any further? Did you feel like you needed someone else to show you things that you couldn't figure out on your own?
Yeah. So I remember thinking when I first started applying for apprenticeships and I got rejected, I was thinking, but I was so hard-headed that I was like, I know I really need an apprenticeship and it would be the best thing, but now, since I'm getting rejected by everybody, I was like preparing myself to learn by myself.
Right.
So like the cocky me would probably say, I would probably have figured it out anyway. I don't know.
Mm.
Things would have looked a lot different probably.
Yeah.
But I was very lucky to meet Pedro, because looking back, he really gave me the fundament that I needed. So
cool.
I needed a master. So when I started for him, I was only into traditional work.
Mm.
It was like cutthroat. I only do traditional. I only like traditional, and I only think about traditional work.
Wow.
Like sailor tattoos, you know? Yeah. And he actually...
Is that what you wanted to do? Yeah, or is that what he told you to do?
No, that was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I was only interested in that. And he opened me up to black and gray and like shading and portraits and stuff like that. Slowly. Because I got bored with traditional work, like sitting. He made me sit and draw flash and, you know, do all those things. And then I started seeing him, like, sometimes he did these portraits and, like, these, like, realism tattoos. And I started, like, wow. So slowly he sort of indoctrinated me into liking, you know, black and gray realism a lot. Yeah. So that's cool. Thanks to him, actually. I think, yeah. But before meeting him, I was all about traditional work.
And then so you worked in that studio for a while, and then at some point did you decide you were going to go? Did you go to New York after that, or did you go to another studio?
I went almost directly from Uddevalla to New York. But in between that and moving to New York, I think it was only the year after I started as an apprentice for him, and I had started doing realism and stuff. And Instagram got really popular, you know, 2012. That's when Instagram started coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted my work and stuff, and I started like, oh, I can hashtag. And so I was actually lucky enough to get shared on Inked Mag of all magazines, like very early. So I woke up one day and saw, oh my God, I have 600 followers. I went from like 42 followers to like 600 in a night. And I was like, what is this? You know, oh my God. And I saw that I'd gotten shared. And so that was really the start of the sort of Instagram thing. And because then I started getting invites to like guest work and conventions and stuff. And so I started saying yes to these.
Hmm.
So I moved to New York in 2016, actually, early. So between that and starting for Pedro, I started guest working and doing expos or conventions, you know, and Well, if you're actually interested to know in how I got the job at Bang Bang.
Yeah, definitely.
It's actually, okay, so, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just ranting.
No, that's what this is all about.
Well, you gotta stop me if I'm going too far. So I was obsessed with Niki 23 GTR. Niki Norberg.
Yep,
He's like the godfather of godfathers in black and gray tattoo. He's from Gothenburg, right? So I was just like, he's the man. Like, he's so good. And somewhere there, he's like, his back then partner, Carl Löfqvist, he's also an amazing, less recognized, but amazing black and gray tattooer. They work together. They write me on Instagram. It's like, hey, do you want to come guest work here? And I was like, oh my God, wow, I'm going to go get to work with Niki and Carl. And I went there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a huge deal. I learned so much. And so Niki had then, just before that, he had been at Bang Bang Tattoo. And back then, there was only like 4 people working at Bang Bang. Bang Bang and like 3 of his friends.
Okay.
And Niki mentioned, oh yeah, I was at this studio in New York, like this little studio in Lower East Side, Manhattan, called Bang Bang. And I was like, Bang Bang, what a bad name. Terrible name. Like, it's so close to Gang Bang. Like, are you serious? You know? It's true. Yeah.
That's funny. I actually never thought of that. I don't know. That never crossed my mind.
Oh, come on. I know you have. We all have. It's an endless discussion.
I always thought it was so catchy.
Well, it is. It is in its own way. Maybe it is.
That's so funny.
But no, so he said like, yeah, I was in this studio called Gang Bang Bang. Sorry. sorry. Oh my God.
You're going to get in trouble.
Oh my God. This is not good. But anyway, that was me back then. I was 17 and I just made fun of everything. I mean, today, yeah. I mean, Bang. By the way, as a disclaimer, Bang Bang really changed my career. So I have everything to thank. Mm-hmm. I have Pedro, my mentor, and Mr. Keith McCurdy, aka Bang Bang, to thank for a lot. So, and I'm deeply appreciative of everything these two guys have done for me. Anyway, he said, yeah, I was at this studio called Bang Bang. And they asked me about you. Because they saw that we're both from Sweden. And so Bang Bang had asked Niki, it's like, oh, do you know about this kid, Oscar? And Nico's like, oh, yeah, like, he's going to come to our studio next month, actually. He's great or whatever. Mm. And so then he sort of brought that message back to me. And so I emailed Bang Bang, like, hello, you know, I heard you ask Niki about me. Here I am, you know. And I got a reply back from the manager, Ed. And he said, yeah, would you like to come for a guest spot? This was 2015. Yeah, 15. So I came, I brought my dad and I came to New York for a guest spot. I did like 2 weeks there.
Nice.
It was really weird. I'd never thought about moving to the States. It never occurred to me. They offered me a job. He said, like, would you like to work here? I think I declined the offer at first, but then I...
Wow.
Yeah, going back to my parents, they were always very supportive. So my dad said, like, dude, you should take this. You should definitely move to New York. And I was a little reluctant.
Yeah.
You know, but I did.
And this was at the time when Bang Bang was not what it is today. This is like early days.
It was, I think, yeah, very early. I think it was. So he had already, you know, because Bang Bang built his brand on not only himself. He's a very good tattooer, but he was always the famous people's tattooer.
Right.
Like one of those early guys who did all the famous people.
Yeah.
And so he had done that. He had tattooed Rihanna and all. So his brand was like sort of up and coming, but it was not at all what it is today, but it was really cool. It was like really cool.
So I'm sure you can see though at the time that there was something special there happening.
Yeah, for sure. I felt like, wow, this guy is like, he looks at tattooing in a very different light, and he's a great businessman, first of all.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, he's like a very cutthroat businessman, and so he had big dreams and big visions for what Bang Bang was going to be. And I thought it was super cool. Like, so it was actually me and Balas Bercheni, who we were the first two, like, they called us imports. the first European tattooers that they like got visas for. And so we were the sixth and the seventh tattooer to start working there. Yeah, that's where it all started. So me and Balazs, we kind of became roomies at first. And that's where me and Balazs met anyway.
Nice.
I learned a lot from Balazs, I will say.
Right.
He was always out there. I love his work.
Yeah. Oh, my God, you know? Me too. I think, I mean, everyone, he's like one of the, he helped pioneer the style that a lot of people have adapted, along with yourself and so many other people. But, I mean, you guys definitely, do you feel like you guys worked off each other at that time, kind of creating your own styles?
Yeah, for sure. I was very jealous of his design skills. I loved his designs. And he was always very out there, and he created his designs very quick.
Yeah.
And I was more, like, slow and calculative.
Right.
Like, but yeah, I think he was fascinated with my techniques. Like, I was very good at realism, like portraits and stuff. So, and when I first met him, he did everything with a three liner. It was all very stippleish and so. So I think we definitely fed from each other. I learned a lot of design from him, and he learned some, you know, realism stuff from me. Maybe some work ethics. I don't know. we definitely learned a lot from each other.
That's cool. Yeah. I feel like that makes such a difference when you're around someone that, like, you can feed off their energy and you feel like you have similar vision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it was amazing. I will say that this is, like, on a personal note, when I came to Bang Bang from Sweden, I had kind of gotten myself, like, I got, my head was kind of blown up. I thought, I'm the man. I didn't think I was the man, but I knew I was really good at realism and stuff.
Right.
But then I met Balazs and I was just like crushed. It's like, shit, this guy is so good.
Yeah.
And like, he's good in a way that I never thought about. And,
was it a humbling experience for you then?
Yeah, for sure it was. And I think that combined with moving to New York was a humbling experience because, you know, you come from Uddevalla, Sweden. I'm not exposed to a lot of stuff. And we had smartphones, obviously, so like being exposed to the art scene in New York, and I got really insecure.
Mm.
Like the first 2 years in New York, I thought I was the worst. I thought I sucked.
Wow.
And I was sure of it. Yeah, I was like, dude, I am not. I had this like imposter syndrome.
Wow.
Where you think that like, oh, I'm not serving this. Like, it's just a matter of time until everybody sees what a joke I am.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you know, it's, I mean, whether that was true or not.
That's terrible.
Yeah, but you know, I had just turned 21, 20. And I was not really a fully equipped human even by then, you know. I was it was honestly very hard going there and being introduced to this whole scene. But I think, I mean, now I can say that I definitely learned a lot and came out on the other side a lot stronger. And today I dare calling myself an artist, but back then I was like, oh no, I'm not an artist, I'm good at copying images that I find on Pinterest. That was definitely humbling.
I mean, but do you feel like at this point now you definitely have it figured out in that sense? I mean, you're doing your mastery class, your design class, you're kind of sharing this knowledge that you've learned at this point in your career with other people, which is really cool because so many people try to keep their information to themselves. And I think it's amazing that you're offering something like this to tattooers.
Thanks.
But it's mainly focused on how you design your pieces and how you, especially working with the body. Is that right?
For sure. I think maybe that actually touches on like the big, I mean, the big realization that I had. I mean, I believe that you can learn tattooing, like the techniques of using a tattoo machine is pretty attainable. Like,
yeah,
it's hard, but like it's a very empirical, if you will, knowledge, right? It's like you can learn how to shape, but then, you know, what is a good design or what is good art is a little more subjective and non-empirical. So that's the hardest thing to learn. So
right.
I thought that that's for sure I should like do a course that sort of boils down everything that I've learned on that matter and see where it can get people.
Yeah, yeah.
Really.
So what's your approach then? Because oftentimes it could be so hard. Someone can create a design on Procreate or something and it's very two-dimensional. And then they print it out and try to put it on the skin, on a body, and what they thought they had doesn't work.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I know. See, that's tricky. I think with experience, you learn like that, shoulder caps are a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, elbows are nightmares.
Yeah.
I think that it's really a trial and error process. And what I felt that I had to get over quick was the pressure of having the client in the room. Because if you ask most of my clients, dude, sometimes I spend half a day just like holding a piece of paper on their arm and being like, ah, this doesn't work. You know? And if you have made a design that looks great in Procreate or Photoshop, that's a clue that it might look good in real life too. Mm. But then you need the client there. You need to print it out. And dude, they were going nuts on me at the studio. I was using all the printer paper because I would print out like different sizes. Like, this size is a little bigger.
Yeah.
I need to change this here. Because I would like put it onto this, hold the paper up to the skin, right? And I would see all the errors of my beautiful design. And I would try to mitigate and fix that. So I think it's in that process. And I think a lot of tattooers, maybe they are sometimes stressed because the client is there and they're paying and they're on an hourly rate and all that.
Yes.
So they just want to get the job done, right? But I think I early on learned that, no, I need to make sure that this is sick, you know?
Yeah. Do you usually take like a couple days in a row for each client, depending on what you're doing, obviously?
Yeah, I tattoo some, and usually those weeks where I have a client for more than one day, those are very nice and relaxed because then I can, then you're doing a sleeve or starting a sleeve, you know. Then sometimes the first day just goes towards talking and trying things and getting a direction and seeing what works and not works. And maybe today I've gotten a little faster. As I said, you've learned that. Or I've learned that dudes with big triceps, they're hard. It's very, very tricky. And one of the biggest tricks there that I know is like always take pictures of your client's arms. Like request. I have a very specific instruction for clients who are booking on how they should take the pictures of their arm and send to me so I can design on top of their arm and I can see how big arms or legs or whatever I'm tattooing, how they look, if they have any scars, if they have big shoulder caps, if they have small, tiny arms, whatever. So that was a big one for me too, in terms of getting the signs to fit perfectly on somebody's body. It's about getting to know the client's body.
Yeah.
And really taking the time there. So that's one, like, I always, always, always ask for good pictures of the client's arm. Yeah.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah, for sure. I mean, because they could show up and what you expected to take 2 days might have to take 4 days.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
And then at that point, what do you do? What do you say if someone's like flying in to get a tattoo and you're just like, well, we need to do this again. So you're going to have to come back.
I've honestly never sent anybody home like that. I just work till 4 a.m. then.
Wow.
Like, yeah. I mean, because I don't have kids. I have a girlfriend nowadays. That's a little different, I will say, you know, but all of this time that we've spoken about from when I was 16 to moving to New York and living in New York, I didn't have any but myself, you know, like I stayed to the shop to 4 a.m. if I had to.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are you working? How many days a week can you do that? How many days a week are you working?
Between the years that I was 16 to 24, I worked 6 or 7 days a week.
Wow.
For sure.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah.
And nowadays?
Oh, dude, I can't tattoo more than 3 days a week now.
Yeah.
Yeah, my back hurts and my concentration is not as good as it was.
Mm.
I get bored. I start hating my life.
Oh, God. That's not good.
It's true. And I start thinking, like, shit, I should have become a DJ instead.
Yeah. Are there other things you want to be doing in the week? Like, do you have other passions and stuff?
Absolutely, man. I think that, well, I'll tell you, my long-term goal is that I want to be a professional music producer. Yeah, I really want that. And I've silently been working on it for the last 2 years very hard. I have maybe, 100 unfinished songs. I mean, like 75 unfinished and like 25 finished songs. But I mean, I'm not going to publish any of them because they're still junk, I think. I want to be really good when I do it. Nowadays, with my Instagram, I want to utilize my social media to the extent and being to full extent that I can. So I'm trying really hard to do collaborations with brands. I'm going to do a small jewelry line that I've been working on for, almost 2 years now, with an American jewelry brand, actually, that I'm very excited about. And
very cool.
So I'm trying things. I want to do things. I want to do prints. I'm actually drawing them now in my iPad. I want to start doing prints and like limited edition runs of prints. And so I've been lately trying to adapt my design language into something that would work on a print.
Nice.
It's going okay.
I mean, that's got to be easier, though. I mean, that's like, so you don't have to work with all the lumps and bumps of a body like we were talking about earlier.
That's true. But I thought that, shit, my designs would look really cool on a flat piece of paper as a print. But I realized, I don't think they look that good. I think they look better on arms.
Really?
Yeah. So now I'm like figuring out a style for me that would work. It's a lot more minimal, I think.
That's crazy to hear. I almost don't believe you.
No, but I mean, it's art. It's subjective. Like, some people might love it, but I don't. And so I'm working that out. I am. But yeah, just in general, tattooing will always be the fundament of my practice, I guess, of what I'm doing, of me as an artist.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to do other things.
I mean, that's cool. Like, that's what it's about. You adapt and you change and you find new passions, and tattooing will always be there, you know, like you said.
Yeah.
It's not like it's going away by any means. And
I hope not. I'd be pretty screwed.
Me too.
It would suck. No, but yeah, I think at least that tattooers should definitely utilize their Instagrams to do other things and take tattooing into a more commercial sector and a more publicly recognized sector. Like, we are artists and we can be artists. Yeah. I think we should definitely try to branch out of tattooing.
I was having this conversation with someone recently about how tattooers are artists that I feel like are almost kind of looked at as a service rather than someone creating artwork and selling it as a one-off piece. And it's like, this is your one original, and it sells for thousands and thousands. It could sell for thousands or millions, depending on who you are as an artist, you know? And a tattoo is like, it's so not seen that way. It's for so long, it's been just this, like, here, come on in, I'll bang out a tattoo for you and you leave the shop. But it seems like now, especially over the last few years, it's becoming more like that. It's becoming like this, like, kind of luxury item, depending on who is doing it.
Mm.
Do you think that, like, it could even possibly move further in that direction? Like, you know, it's almost like wearing a brand, isn't it? It's like wearing, you know, a designer clothing or something like that. It's like, who did your tattoo? The only problem with that, though, it seems like there's, and I'm sure you see this a lot, because I see it a lot, people copying your work, people copying other people's works. You know, how do you feel about that? What do you think that does to the industry and to the market and clientele, even, that are paying, you know, decent money to get tattooed by a specific artist?
I mean, personally, I'm flattered because I haven't seen any tattoos that are particularly great that are copied. I've seen a few that where they've taken maybe the structure of my idea and made it better. And I've been like, oops, well done. So that's really fun to see. No, I think even then, I mean, it's all you can see. That's just a sign of that tattooing is becoming more and more and more popular and being more and more looked at as a form of art and a form of fashion, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that more and more tattooers are looked at not only as service providers, but also artists. We are some type of hybrid between the two.
It's a hybrid, like you're right.
And yeah, exactly. And so I think if you as a tattooer start like more or less titling yourself as an artist and taking place as an artist, you can become perceived as an artist. But it's on a personal level, it's more about on an individual level, because you have seen people like Balazs, you've seen people like Dr. Vu. They are all tattoo artists, but they strive for something more, and they work really hard at showing that I am more than that.
Yeah.
And it's more up to you on an individual level, and this is what I'm trying to do too. I mean, whether it be successful at the moment or not, it's a different question. When I want to show that I can do more, and that in itself will help me and maybe even the whole industry to perceive us as artists more than just service providers.
Yeah.
And it's already on the way.
I've seen a few artists now dipping their toe in the NFT movement.
Yeah.
That's popping up now. What do you think about that?
That's cool.
Do you think you'll ever go that direction?
You know what? If I, you're on that phone, I would show you on my iPhone right now a few NFTs that I'm working on.
Wow.
I'm
going to see those.
That's a different story. So I'm not a 3D animator.
Yeah.
So I had to outsource that from a very talented girl in Turkey who I've had contact with for a long time.
Ooh.
And we're working on it. I'm going to be a little late, I think. If this goes through, it's going to be like a collaboration between me and her. And if we can agree on something soon, I hope, I'll be releasing an NFT.
Nice.
But it's a great space. I'm not a crypto master or anything like that. I can't say where it's going to go, or if it's a fly, or if it's going to stay and become like a new form of trading art. I hope so. But it's definitely cool, and I definitely think that tattooers should be some of the first to, you know, put the flag down and say, like, we're doing NFTs too.
It almost seems like that would be the transition from the hybrid service provider and artist to becoming the, you know what I mean? Like, if you're selling NFTs as a tattoo artist, I mean, who is a better person for providing NFTs than a tattoo artist?
Yeah.
They're doing work every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
that's right.
Like, it just seems like a natural transition.
Yeah, for sure. And you could even, I mean, this might be a little capitalist to say, but you could even sell your client. So like, you'll do the tattoo on them and then say, like, do you want to buy the design?
I was thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
right?
Then they,
I don't know if I'd do that, but yeah.
Because then there's no security, and then there's no stopping anyone still from like taking that design. You might own the rights legally, I guess, to that design, but people will still,
exactly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And but then that makes me think of, like, were there ever anything stopping anyone from doing that anyway?
No,
you know, like, I guess you know. So but maybe then you're actually handing it to them, because people would have to look on a picture of a tattoo to try to copy it. Even if it's tattoo designs or not, I think if you're a tattoo artist that feel like, yeah, I am an artist, and tattooing is just one of the mediums that I work in, and it might be like what I make money on currently, I think you should not be afraid to explore else. I mean, I had, on a personal note, I was very sort of self-questioning of, like, oh, you know, I'm good at tattooing, and maybe this is what it is. I shouldn't be greedy. I shouldn't like think that I am, that I can do more. I'm probably just going to look like an idiot. Let's try.
I think that's most artists feel that way.
Yeah. We're humans. And
most artists go through that self-doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope that NFTs can be, it raises a good question in us, like, yeah, for sure we can be. I mean, imagine for all the poor graphic designers and 3D animation artists that just worked for corporate brands to make their commercials up until now, where if you're a 3D animator, like, you're hot stuff right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can be your own boss, because you can, if you're smart enough to monetize on your own skill and create a platform where you can sell your own art, you can sell your own and not like be essentially a corporate slave, right?
Yeah.
Just making commercials for iPhones, or in best case scenario, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so they are now like perceived as artists too, and I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, it's cool. It's such a crazy, weird thing. Like, I tried getting into it a little bit. I had a friend call me like a few months ago saying, trying to explain this NFT thing to me. And I was getting so lost. So anyways, he said,
and me too. I still don't get it.
Yeah. He was like, try to do something and then we can maybe put it out together. And I was like, okay. So I sat down and tried to do it for like a couple hours, and I came up with something I thought was kind of cool. And then I just, at one point, I was like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I'm exhausted and I'm not going to figure this out. But like, anyone else is doing it out there and it's working, like, that's great. I'm happy for you guys. But let's just talk a little bit, if you don't mind, talking about some of the equipment that you're using doing your tattoos.
Sure.
What machine are you using right now?
So right now I am using the Cheyenne Nova, is it called that?
Yeah.
The wireless history thing. It's really good. I love being rid of the cable. It's great. But I've always been an all eater, honestly. I've early on, like when I was apprenticing for Pedro, I was obsessed with tattoo machines, and I bought all kinds of tattoo machines.
Yeah.
And I was into coils, and I was into rotaries, and I was like trying a bunch of stuff. And but then, you know, after a couple of years, it's more like I want a reliable machine that works every time, that I'm not gonna have to tune, not gonna have to do anything with. I think most tattooers will say this today, like, hey, it's a little bit different if you're a traditional like tattooer that we're taught on like coils to start using a pen or one of these direct drive rotary machines, but they're amazing. So I've been using, the last 2-3 years I was using a Bishop wand, the wand, the first wand pen that they came out with.
Yeah.
And I used it, it's been my best friend, man. So like these pen machines, I think more today I'm not that intricate about, I even talk about it in my course. I'm kind of like cynical about tattoo machines in my course. I'm saying like, dude, just do whatever that works for you.
Yeah.
There's not for me a real, it's not about the machine. A lot of it is in the machine, but no, today I'm looking for comfort, reliability, and ergonomics.
And convenience.
Yeah. Convenience, 100%. So I use a pen today and I'm proud.
Yeah.
It looks like a dildo, but I'm proud. Yeah,
it does. They really could have done a little bit better with that.
Yeah, they could.
Oh well, it works.
They're working on it. No, but I use a pen machine. And really, like sometimes when I used to travel more before with tattooing, I'd go to clients and stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, when I would fly into a country that might not, well, first of all, that I might not have had a work visa to get into, like, or whatever, or a country that, I have a story about that. To a country where tattooing is literally forbidden. I've had to I can't travel with, so then I've had to buy a machine there and I just have to use whatever I can use, right?
Wow.
So, and I mean, then I've been like very thankful to myself that, yeah, I can really use anything, almost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you don't give me a coil these days.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
So heavy. Yeah. So obnoxious, seems like.
Yeah. I could not do a straight line with a coil these days.
Yeah.
For sure not. But, I use anything that's reliable. and good. 3.5 millimeters is great.
And what about the needles that you're using? Are you, you're obviously using cartridges.
Yes. But again, there, any brand really works. There are some brands that I've been like, oh, this is really bad. But then, you know, anything from like Quadron, oh, gosh, today, man, you know how to do, there's so many brands today.
Yeah.
So many.
Are you using a single needle ever?
Very rarely. I'd rather use a very tight three if I would go that small. Mm. But I work with people who do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a question for you actually about getting light tones to be light tones. I mean, you can use a gray wash and you can use even a really light gray wash, but it still looks darker when you do it fresh than it does healed. But to get a light tone that looks really nice and light when it's fresh, I mean,
it's tricky.
Are you using black ink just really lightly?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. No. So, no, if I want a really, really light tone, I will take a very light gray wash. I mix my own cups. So I'll always have one cup that just have a drop of black ink and then the rest water.
Yeah.
And then I'll take a Magnum and just like super softly brush it.
Really soft.
And yeah, really soft. And then it depends on the skin. Like, you know how some clients' skin, it can just seem to tolerate that very well, while some people's skin just won't get that. It's a really hard question to answer, but some people swear by tattooing with just black ink and just, you know, regulating your speed and the depth of the needle and all that. But I use gray washes for sure.
Yeah.
I have one cup that's fully black and one cup that has 80% black and then the rest water. And then I have the last cup with just ultralight, just one drop of black and the rest water. And then I'll mix between the two, the 80% black and the one drop, and I'll like get whatever.
Yeah.
And I mix that with the amount of times I go over and say, yeah. But yeah, it's a really hard thing, man, to get a nice shade. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, because one of my favorite tattoos that you've ever done is the toilet.
Ah, yeah.
It's like my favorite tattoo.
Thank you. Do you know about snuffy.nyc?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I did it on him.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's on his leg.
That's so cool. It's such a cool tattoo because it's like one of the most brilliantly done tattoos. It's like, I mean, it looks so good, and it's a toilet. Like, I want that toilet in my house.
Do you want to know something funny? Dude, his friends got him a real life toilet like that.
No way.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's amazing.
I swear to God, they got this like painted from Mexico. It took 6 months to arrive, but they got him a live version of his fucking toilet tattoo.
So they sent the company a photo of your tattoo and they recreated it.
Yeah, yeah. That's
amazing.
It's pretty close to what it is, but it's man, I'm gonna see if I have a picture after this. I'll send it to you. I do have a picture of it. I do.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's
hilarious. Do you like doing those kind of small like
things? Yeah, and I had a period where you know, like as I said, I was like trying to navigate through like my style and like finding, oh, I like this. No, I like that. No, I love that. Lately, I haven't been doing much small tattoos again, but yeah, I love that. Why not? If it's a funny idea, like cool or funny, then yeah.
That was like such a cool one. But I love all the light. Like that was one of the ones that stood out to me when I was talking about those really light tones that you're able to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without it being looking like overly dark.
Oh man, yeah. That time, I think I took out like a 5 mag. And just shaded really softly, like 1-2 passes, and that was that.
Could you possibly walk us through, like, your approach to doing something like that big back piece that you showcase a lot?
Oh, yeah. I live on that tattoo, man. That's like.
I mean, it's so incredible. I mean, every time I see it, it's just unreal. Can you walk me through like your process there, how you came up with that concept, the idea, and then even going from like light to dark like that? I mean, the whole thing works so well.
Yeah. So that tattoo is actually a cover up. If you look down in the lower back.
Oh, wow.
lower back tattoo. He had like a shitty black and gray like tattoo around his, like a tramp stamp. You can, if you look closely, it's kind of like that. So it's very abstract down there. So that's why I had to do that dark, big foundation. I did that tattoo over 5 days in Stockholm in 2019. We argued a lot, not argued, but we were going back and forth on like design and stuff. I did not finish the whole design before starting to tattoo it. So I was designing it as I was going. I only had like a general idea. So I started by doing that gradient, the dark in the lower back, the gradient and the sort of negative map lines. Yeah. And then I love symmetry. So I wanted to play off the spine. So I wanted to put like these, the eye and the dots that goes along the spine in the different sizes, right? And same with those two birds on the rear deltoids, you know, the shoulders there, the two crows. They are just two of the same bird. And then it was just a lot of standing. Like, again, when I tattoo, half of the time I'm just standing looking at it and like trying a million things on the spot. And the client is standing there just like fucking waiting.
Yeah.
But it's, I try to be engaging and like, because I think they really see that I think that I try hard and that I'm trying to figure it out. So they're all very patient and like, yeah, we want to try to figure this out. But I did not design that whole thing in one go. It's like you have this grid of things of like, yeah, you have the centerpiece.
I've seen that photo that you have that.
That's
kind of shows the balance and the symmetry.
Yes. And so, I mean, when I did that piece, I didn't have that underlying structure in mind. It's more just I like it that way. So, yeah, I play off the spine vertically.
Yeah.
And then have like, you know, a center point, things coming off the sides. You have the two birds coming down. So it just sort of creates balance for me. Yeah.
Everything works together. Yeah. This is all stuff that you talk about in your course that you offer online.
Yeah.
How has that been? How has the response been with that? You've been doing it for about a year now, right?
Almost a year, yeah. After the summer, it'll have been a year. It's been great. And we're still working on it. It's me and my brother and another partner of ours who has experience in online courses from before in different things. And we're still very much dialing in exactly what works and what people want. And,
yeah.
And I think it's been great so far. We have over 600 students.
That's amazing. Over 600. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's amazing. We've been able to create from this, like this community. That was one of the ideas of doing this too. If you join, you also get to join our community site. And I mean, today it's pretty much perpetuating this community. People are there asking each other questions and I chime in. And
wow.
Actually, after this, I'm going to answer some questions. You know, I go in once a week and I comment on people's work and questions.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So that's really cool. But we're still very much working on the course. But the feedback has been great so far. But yeah, we're working on it. I think it can become a lot better still.
I just wanted to ask you about, like, I'm sure it comes with the job, especially when you're doing something that's like, in my opinion, your work has been pretty groundbreaking in the tattoo industry. And a lot of people have, you know, I mean, you pushed a lot of limits and you're doing things, you were doing things before everyone else, pretty much. This style you kind of helped establish. So there has to have been a lot of hate that came with that, from people that had negative opinions or like, how did you deal with that side of things?
Well, I think that, actually maybe you'd think that I would have gotten a lot of hate for it, but surprisingly, the only sort of objections I've gotten for my style of tattooing is probably by the more traditional tattooers who say, oh, these tattoos will never last. That has come, but not so much, to be honest. People have been very nice and more, yeah, I guess they've shown fascination more But yeah, you know, the occasional bitter tattooer who says like, oh, well, this line will never hold. And yeah, well,
yeah.
I mean, nothing is permanent, dude. We're all going to die. Like, you know,
yeah.
What are you going to do? But no, really, well, if you want to talk about hate online and my online course, that's a different topic.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. There I've got a lot of heat.
Really?
For sure.
And has that made you question anything, or do you just, you keep on going?
Of course. No, of course. It's like, now maybe I've learned to, my girlfriend has been really supportive in that. I do read comments.
Yeah.
And, it was especially like, you know, when you start with this ad thing on Instagram, and we kind of at first took a real guerrilla approach to the marketing, and we were like in people's faces a lot of the time. I'm not sure if you've seen any of the ads, but like we've tried a lot of ads, and there were a lot of people like hating on it for sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, that's like more people think that you can't teach tattooing online. And I mean, my course is more design driven, but yeah, no, there's been a little hate there too. Yeah.
Do you respond to those comments, or do you just kind of read through them?
I don't answer any. I just, we have hired, like one of our assistants now, she's doing a hell of a job actually, like communicating with people and stuff like that. And one of her assignments, it's also to, like take care of all the negative comments.
Oh really?
Yeah, so she goes in and takes them away.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we knew that this would come, like, because you know we're doing, and I was unsure too. Yeah, shit, can we really teach tattooing and tattoo design online? Let's give it a try. I mean, I think I can create a course that boils down what I've learned over the past 10 years. But we knew that there were going to be people expressing their thoughts.
Yeah. Like you said, it's more design based, isn't it?
Maybe that's the where my course has where my course is incomplete, because I do show there's three full length tattoo sessions that's voiceover, where I talk about everything. I do talk about ink and I do talk about needles and machines and everything, but it's not a 101 how to learn tattooing basics kind of thing.
Mm. Well, I mean, I think like one, you gotta just say like, fuck the haters, right? You gotta just do what you are doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It obviously works, and people want to learn from you. You know what I mean? And like, that's what I always think is so weird. It's like, there's obviously people that want to learn from you, and the ones that don't, just go about your business. You don't have to like stop.
And yeah. Yeah.
Make a comment about it. You know what I mean? It's so weird.
Yeah, I know, it's super weird. But me and my girlfriend was actually talking about online hate and online bullying the other day. And you know how social media just sort of provides the platform for people to channel hate that might already has always been in us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As humans. But now there's this sort of channel for it to come out. And yeah, then you see it online and stuff. There's this wall of social media behind us. And yeah, we see a lot of hates that might not have come out in the same form as before.
Yeah. I don't know. This is kind of just a way that I've thought to put this. Basically, it's just, what advice would you give someone that's learning how to tattoo? But if you could think back to yourself and like when you were first learning how to tattoo, what advice would you give yourself at knowing what you know now, and you can give yourself some advice back then, what would it be?
Oh, good question. I mean, the classic answer, give yourself some credit, have fun, try to learn, like try to live life too. I was very late on certain things in life because I was so laser focused on art and tattooing that I didn't learn how to be a human before I was, you know, in a way. So that has come with a lot of things. Like for the longest time, I think I still am a more or less non-functioning human. But that's more that because I was very young. But for art, study art. Like tattooing, the techniques of using a tattoo machine is pretty obtainable. You can learn, especially today with online and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
You can learn that. But focus on art and finding yourself as an artist and let yourself be inspired by art that is not necessarily connected to tattooing per se, and try to bring that into tattooing.
Yeah.
If more people would do that, we would see a lot more interesting, and we are seeing a lot more interesting tattoos these days because of that, I believe. Yeah, focus on the art part.
Yeah, that's great.
But I'm also very happy that for the first 5-6 years of my tattooing, I was strictly like portrait, copying an image kind of thing, you know. How do you get good at realism? Like, but I think if I would have started earlier with like finding my voice as an artist and like allowing myself to do weird things earlier, I would have been a lot more further than I am today. Become an artist.
Do you think there's a new direction that you would take now at this point in your career? Is there new styles or new things that you want to explore?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like you found it and you landed where you are now?
Maybe in tattooing, but now that I'm starting to think about, making prints and like making other things, I find myself like looking at abstract art, like completely, things completely away from what I'm tattooing. And I love it.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit like, oh shit. And then I get insecure because, oh my God, I've created this style for myself, like this is what I'm like known for doing. But now I'm kind of over that. Like I want to do other things. And then you get trapped in that kind of thing. And so now I'm working on breaking free again from my old ways. So, but I don't know, I'm trying to remind myself to just be a human and be an artist. And like be very accepting of myself and like, oh, I like this. Okay, let's do it. Like, it's only me who sets the boundaries of what I should or cannot do.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Cool. And I've asked the same question to everyone that's been on this podcast, and pretty much 95% of the people I've asked, you are included in their list, which is pretty cool. It's amazing to ask you this now. If you can name three artists that you'd love to get tattooed by, who would they be that you haven't already been tattooed by?
Oh, cool. Trust me, I only have really bad tattoos. I don't know. I would love to get tattooed by Balazs. He did tattoo me, but I think we were drunk and it wasn't like a Balazs tattoo. It was more like a Balazs tattoo. And Balazs. I would love to have a Niki. Fuck, I have a Niki tattoo. Okay. You know what? I don't think I want any more tattoos.
After all
dude,
that.
Dude, I'm covered.
Yeah, do you have...
I'm covered.
You probably don't have any more space, do you?
In my butt. Like, dude. No, but it's true. Like, you know, it's just like...
Crazy.
Like, yeah, no, but there are some Korean tattooers that are really pushing the envelopes right now, and like they're making some weird stuff. I'd love to collect that
for sure.
And then there are some like German guys that also make very very strange non-tattoo-ish that I'd love to get tattooed by. I mean, I do follow tattooers online, but I rarely look at tattoos for inspiration these days, so I find myself looking at other stuff for my own designs. I look at like art and Pinterest obviously is a great one, like looking at artists instead. So
that's cool.
I've sort of over the last 3-4 years like sort of drifted away from following the, and then I get depressed anytime I go in and really look, because all you guys are so fucking good. And like and you know, so no man, like there are so many great artists today.
So many great artists, and it's crazy. They're just like, I feel like every day I come across a new tattoo artist that's like not very popular or big. They may have like a couple thousand followers or even less, and they're like, I'll never be that good. And it's just like crazy. Like, I don't know where these people are coming from, but like,
no, it's amazing.
I don't know if it's Yeah, I it must be. My only thought is that it's like social media has really like opened everyone's eyes to what tattoos can look like.
Yeah.
You know, and then the more people that see it that are amazing artists, they go, I think I could do that.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And you get a tattoo machine in their hand. Absolutely. And, they're so good.
And I mean, to the point we were speaking about earlier, like tattooing is becoming more and more popular, like commercially recognized, or what to say, like more socially recognized and accepted. Yes. So, you know, you have like people with art masters, art degrees, even architecture master's degrees that like come out of school and they're like, oh, what should I work with? Tattooing is the most profitable job. So now you have like people.
That's great.
Yeah, it's amazing. So now you have people that are like extremely, extremely educated in all forms of art that choose to go into tattooing, and we're seeing a lot of crazy tattoos thanks to that.
It's hard to keep up, like you're saying.
Yeah. It's time to move to NFTs, dude. Let's go.
I'm right behind you.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, but yeah.
Well, that's good, man. That's like, this has been so great. And if there's anything that you can think of that you'd want to mention or discuss, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a tattooer, like, and you feel like you want to be more than a tattooer, not that it's bad in any way to be a tattooer, but like, go be an artist, because we are, like, we're definitely artists, and take that space and place to be an artist and like command that respect from your clients and the world. And that's what I believe in anyway.
Powerful words. That's great. That's the closing statement right there.
I think so, right?
Yeah.
Dude, this was great.
Thank you again for doing this with me. Like I said, I love what you're doing, and I love watching your course grow. And I think, you know, a lot of people are learning some great things from you, and you have really opened a lot of doors, I think, for other tattoo artists, which is something to be proud of, and really... It's inspiring for me, you know.
Thank you.
It was really, really great to have you on here, and I hope to meet you in person someday.
Me too.
And maybe even if I'm lucky enough, possibly get a tattoo off you.
Oh, it would be my pleasure.
Of course, man. That's the dream.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool.
I'll do it for you, of course.
All right, dude. Well, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Thank you, man. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to follow on social media and wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Spotify or Apple or Google. You can find me on Instagram at jankyjake_tattoos. And this page is at the_fine_line_. So many underscores. If there's a specific artist that you'd like me to have on the show, please feel free to send me a message and I'll see what I can do to get him on. Once again, my name is Jake Berry, and this is The Fine Line.